Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we do come to you praising you that you gave us your Son in spite of the fact that we were broken. We don't have anything to offer you, that you loved us first. I just pray, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, that you might speak to us. I pray, Lord, that we might focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are back in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. We've been there for the previous two Sundays. It reads, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Through these verses, we have learned that Christ isn't teaching against wealth. After all, wealth is an inanimate object. But he is teaching us to have a correct perspective on wealth. We can't be obsessed with wealth. We can't value wealth over the eternal. We should recognize that God is the source of all wealth so that we can be good stewards. Last week, we also learned that we should avoid the obsession of earthly treasure, but we should be concerned about laying up eternal treasure. And we found that eternal treasure is our relationship with the Lord. We read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, which reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Not only does He give us access to God, He is our life to God. Jesus Christ said that He is the bread of life. He said that He is the Alpha and Omega. And just like Mary, Martha's sister, we need to choose Christ over the cares of the day. And today, what we're going to point out as we finish up this teaching on these particular verses is that as Christ teaches the eternal over the temporal, He offers a comparison between the two. On earthly treasure, He says that moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Treasures in heaven are protected from moth and rust and thieves. He's doing a comparison. It's a valid point in His teaching. And we still conduct ourselves today by comparing things. You know, you think about it. You go to the grocery store, you pick out a cereal, you pick out whatever canned good, whatever product you're looking at, you compare, don't you? You compare taste, you compare price. We do all things like that. When you go car shopping, you compare. When you choose a bank, you compare. When you make an investment, you compare. I think it's important and appropriate that as we walk with Christ and as we make decisions in our life, that we should compare as well as Christ is compelling us in these particular verses to do. Compare the eternal to the temporal. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, starting in the 13th verse, it says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for the babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Here in Psalm 17, you see a great comparison between two different groups of people. In verse 14, you see how people apart from Christ live their life. It says, from men of the world who have their portion in this life. That's how a lost person looks at their life, right? Enjoy today because tomorrow it will all be gone. They live a temporal life. And here the psalmist says that they have their portion in this life. He also says, in whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. What does that refer to? Well, we all enjoy God's common grace, don't we? We all enjoy food that He's provided for us, whether we are lost or saved. We all enjoy the environment that He has provided for us, lost or saved. It is God's common grace. The lost person enjoys God's common grace, and in fact, that's all they see, is the things of this world. But look at what the person enjoys in verse 15. "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Now, when am I and when are you going to awake in the likeness of God? That's heaven, isn't it? That's heaven. I long for that day. I long for the day when Christ wipes away every tear. I long for the day when there is no pain. I long for the day when there is no more sorrow. I long for the day when we have a King who reigns in righteousness and justice. It's a great comparison, isn't it? Pretty obvious. If our eyes are on Jesus Christ, as we look at the things of this world and compare them to the eternal wins hands down. It's more valuable. Christ said, "Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." What Christ is trying to tell us is that no matter how hard we try, our plans will not be complete in this world because of the environment that we live in. Turn with me to Romans 8:18. Paul wrote the church at Rome. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Back in verse 20, when it says creation was subjected to futility, ever felt that way? It's futile. Why try? It's futile. Why work? It's futile. Why lay up? It's futile. What God is telling us is your plans here on this earth will not go according to plan. I think we can all agree on that, can't we? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to accomplish these things. I'm going to achieve this goal. And then we find out that life just didn't work out that way. God's ways aren't our ways, are they? And the things of this world, futile. Creation is in futility. And if we put our focus on the things of this earth, you are going to experience futility. Creation was subjected to futility. But see, it says in verse 23 that as first fruits of the Spirit that we groan within ourselves. You look back at old hymns, they sung about heaven. They longed for heaven. They looked forward to it. See, we as believers should look forward to seeing Christ face to face. And we should be laying up treasures in heaven because as we compare the two, as we compare the futile to the wonderful gifts and service that we can do for the Lord, we should be laying up that treasure. We should be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for us to do that, it must truly be a treasure. Christ must be a treasure. Sometimes we take our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. Look at what Paul wrote the church as he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Before verse 7, he had explained what his previous life was all about. And then in verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." That I may gain Christ. Paul counted all things loss. They're rubbish. See, Paul recognized that his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was a treasure. A treasure. He said, nothing else matters. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is Christ your treasure? How does your relationship with Jesus Christ compare with all of your stuff? Paul said that he counted them as loss. He said, "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." He goes on in verse 9 and says, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's a man who understood that Jesus Christ is a treasure. The rest of the world is just rubbish. You know, as you stand by a grave and you experience a funeral service, it drives that point home, doesn't it? We don't take anything with us, do we? Except one thing, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else goes away. It's gone. The hope of the New Testament is certainty, They knew they were going to have it. We have that assurance as Christians, don't we? And having that assurance, having that hope, knowing that we'll see Christ face to face, knowing that we can lay up treasure in heaven, we should be servants for Him in the kingdom. We should recognize that Jesus Christ is our treasure. Psalm 119:127 says, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." Have you ever met a wealthy, miserable person? Absolutely, haven't we? Where they could do anything their heart desired, but yet they find themselves in misery. Gold doesn't satisfy. But my friend, His truth is gold. His teaching is gold. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious, and the access that we have through Him is treasure. Now, in recognizing that, we could just say, well, yes, Jesus Christ is treasure. And it stopped right there. We could intellectually acknowledge that. There's lots of people that says that the Bible is a wonderful piece of wisdom literature. You ever heard a lost person describe the Bible that way? It's one of the great literary works of the world. But they don't recognize it as treasure. You and I recognize it as treasure. But we also must have the faith to obtain it. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it reads, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." Sounds like a promise to me, doesn't it to you? If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How many times do we find ourselves in a predicament in life, and instead of going to the Bible, instead of getting on our knees, the first thing we do is we go to a friend or we go to a coworker and we go, "What do you think? What is your opinion?" Right? And you can go from person to person to person, and "What do you think? What is your opinion on this particular matter?" And you're going to get a different opinion or a different idea from every person that you ask. And typically what happens is that we go to person until someone does what? Until they agree with us. Ah, I got it. I got it. But that's not what Proverbs says, is it? Proverbs says, don't go to your friend for wisdom. Don't go to your neighbor. Don't go to your coworker. It says, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, the inference is to God, if you seek her as silver and search for her as your hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's a promise. I love in verse 7 where He says He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's got it. He's got plenty of it. See, that's treasure. As we live our life, our treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ in His wisdom, in His knowledge. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life. The way that we live right now. Not heaven. Right now. You need wisdom. You can get it from God right now with a relationship with God. Now, I've had people in my ministry where they will come to church and they will want the church to fix their problem. That's all they want. God, I want my marriage fixed. I want this tribulation that I'm going through. I want it to pass. I want this. I want that. And they don't find it. Do they not find it because God has failed them? No. They don't find it because they don't want to give up their life. It says He stores up wisdom for who? The upright. The upright. In other words, I can't live my life however I want to live it and then come in to the church and try to get the problem fixed. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't. God wants all of us. And when we give Him all of us, He stores up wisdom for the upright. When we abide in Him, we bear fruit. That's what God wants. God wants all. Well, not only do we have to treasure our relationship and treasure everything that God gives us, we also have to have faith to use the treasure. See, we have to have faith to use the treasure because in using the treasure is God gives us resources and also as God gives us truth, we're not meant to just be a depository of that wisdom. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. So God gives us treasure. We lay up treasure. It's all based upon our relationship with Him. So as we read His Word, we receive the wisdom of God. As we rest in Him and know that He is a providential God who gives us all things, we believe that He provides for us in all things. And we're to use it. There's a quick verse that emphasizes that point. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and He will pay back what He has given. In other words, in God's economy, as you give of yourself, God gives back. We're not meant to just accept deposits. Would you bank at a bank that did that? We only accept deposits. We don't let you withdraw. God didn't set us up that way either. He didn't send His Son to shed His precious blood on the cross so that we could sit in church on a Sunday and feel good about ourselves. More than that, we're ambassadors. It says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. How do you do that? Do that through reading the Word, praying, developing your relationship with Him and serving in His kingdom. He gave every single one of us a gift. And by exercising that gift, we are going to lay up treasures in heaven. It's just not about coming to church on a Sunday. It's about exercising our faith, about spending that treasure. You can't outgive the Lord. Now, some people say, well, you're just talking about money. I'm talking about everything. We all have a certain amount of time. But you know what I found out about time and about giving up time to serve the Lord? People say, well, I don't have time to serve the Lord. I'm busy. I've got all of these things. And what I have found about time is whenever I serve the Lord, I always end up being able to complete the other tasks that need to be completed in my life. As we serve, He allows us to take care of all the other things that need to be accomplished. See, it really boils down to verse 21 of our focal passage in Matthew 6. Christ says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the question that I have for you this morning is, do you value your relationship with God? The Bible says that we can approach Him with boldness. In other words, we have access. But how often do I pray? How often do I seek God's will? Do I treasure it? Do I treasure the fact that through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have access to the throne room of heaven and have the understanding of the revealed Word of God in my life? Lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Please stand with me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Where's your treasure? What's important? Is it the things of this world? Just think back about Monday through Saturday this last week. Did you read His Word? Did you seek His will? Did you serve? Did you show someone else the love of God? We've been saved to glorify Him. And the only way that we can do that is to treasure Him, to seek Him, to count the world as rubbish. You're not serving right now. If you can't say right now that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're active in your faith, just right now, right where you're at, recommit your life to God. Have that joy in your life that you experienced when you first gave Christ your life. Let loose of the things of this world and put your focus on Him. You may be here this morning and you're not a believer. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never relinquished your life. You've never given it to Him. He has His arms open wide. He's willing to forgive. You just need to ask for forgiveness. Repent from your sins. Turn from your sin. Ask Him to be Savior and King and recognize that He gave His life for you on the cross and He rose from the grave triumphantly, so that you might have life. Our Father, I just pray, Lord, that if someone needs to make a decision this morning, that they do so. We just praise You. We praise You that You are a treasure, an eternal treasure, a treasure that never breaks or falters. And I pray that we put our faith and hope in You. I pray, Lord, that we might be committed to You, that we might have a joy in our heart that represents the wonderful salvation that we have. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you? Is He speaking to you this morning?